Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of Movement Radio. I'm Chip Hazard.
I am Talon Williams. We are week 15 of Are You Ready for Some Football? Oh, actually, no, I'm sorry, week 16 of Are You Ready for Some Football? This has been way too many weeks. But before we get started, Merry Christmas to everybody out there. Just want to say that to everybody out there, or Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. We don't discriminate. That being said, Chip, how'd you feel about week 15?
I felt really good about week 15. I thought there was some really good games.
So
there was some shockers. We'll get into that when we get into that. But
yes.
There was some shockers, and I was like, what in the hell? How did you let X team score Y amount of points on you? But okay.
Right. We had a coach firing this week. I mean, when you give up 63 points to the Oakland Raiders, yeah, you kind of deserve to lose your job at that point.
That's what I was going to talk about.
How do you let the
Las Vegas Raiders score 63 points?
49 of them unanswered.
63 points.
Yes, 49 that's unanswered. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Considering that both of these teams the previous week scored 6 points and 0 points. You know, I was like, that's crazy to me. Excuse me. But anyway, let's just go ahead and jump into the games real quick from this past week. And I'm still on week 16. Why am I? Okay, here we go. So one game we're going to kick off to start. Obviously, we just talked about the Raiders and Chargers game that was a complete blowout. The Broncos and the Detroit Lions. The Lions just came in and was like, nah, we're sick of, you know, people counting us out. We're just going to just steamroll over the Broncos. And 42-17. It was a pretty good beatdown that they did on the Broncos. How'd you feel overall about this game?
I mean, I thought this game was going to be a little closer than what it was because, you know, the Broncos had been playing pretty well up until this point.
Right.
And then it's like, like what happened to you kind of thing. So,
yeah. Yeah. I thought it's very interesting how when you look at, like, I think this is probably the best game that Jared Goff has played in a very, very long time. He only threw 278, but he had 5 touches on the day.
Right.
You know, 5 touchdowns on the day. Jamar Gibbs ran for 100 yards and a touchdown. Amon-Ra St. Brown, 7 of 112 with a touchdown. And Sam Laporta, 5 catches, 3 touchdowns, 56 yards. Like, that dude was literally, like, all over the place. You know, I don't know if this was just a one-off or if Sam Laporta's that guy at the tight end position for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but overall, you know, and the Broncos, once again, giving up so many points. They definitely need to address the secondary. Really, they need to address the whole defense in the offseason. Now, they're still in the fight. They're 7-7, so they're still in it. But the chances of them actually getting to the wild card right now are kind of slim compared to the way the other teams have been playing. And we're going to start off with another one of those teams. Please forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. Acid reflux is kicking my ass tonight. But also, we're going to move on to Miami and New York. The Miami Dolphins beat the New York Jets 30-0. We gave them the goose egg. And we did it without Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill, obviously, because of the injury that he suffered last week, they said, you know what, we're okay. We're playing the Jets. Take the week off, which, you know, in the grand scheme of things, maybe hurt his MVP chances a little bit because of how they dominated against the New York Jets. But again, the Jets do have a good defense, so I'm not going to take too much away from it. But, you know, Raheem Mostert, 15 carries, 42 yards, and 2 touchdowns on the day. He now has 20 touchdowns on the season. As far as rushing yards go, as far as rushing touchdowns go, Jalen Waddle, 8 for 142 and a touchdown. So definitely filling Tyreek's role until Tyreek can get back. And Bradley Chubb went off. Forced 2 fumbles, had, 3 sacks on the day. He was just a menace on the defense. How did you ultimately feel about the Dolphins and the Jets?
I was really glad that Tyreek didn't play, he wasn't chasing those numbers.
Yeah.
As they call it, you know, just to ensure that he's going to be healthy through the long haul. You know, yep. I mean, it's easy to look and be like, man, I can break that 2,000, you know, yard record. I can break 2K. But, you know, if I break that, am I going to, you know, when we evidently play into the playoffs, am I going to be there for my team? So I was really glad to see that he did not play.
Yeah, me too.
You know, but Mostert, you know, set a personal record with the touchdowns. He's now scored more touchdowns in 15 games than he had the entirety of his career up until this year.
Yeah.
He's
definitely come a long way. And I think with the addition of Mike McDaniel last year, as a new head coach, and in Mike McDaniel's second year, they got this team truly believing that they can go farther in the playoffs than what they did. No one except for maybe me had the Dolphins win it, which I didn't even really have the Dolphins winning the division. I thought it was going to be Buffalo again because they were just so good of a team. And now Buffalo is sitting at 8-6 and the Dolphins are sitting at 10-4. And depending on what happens this upcoming week, we could clinch, but we'll get to that in just a second. I want to get to your team, man. I want to get to that insane edge of your seat game between the Houston Texans and the Tennessee Titans. The Texans pulling it out last second, overtime field goal, 19-16. Bubba, I messaged you Sunday when this game was going on, and I was like, yo, you good? And you're like, man, I got a migraine headache. And I'm still on the edge of my seat. So overall, I think I know the answer to this. Maybe the audience needs to know. How did you feel about that game as in its totality?
It was a nail biter. We went in without all of our top weapons, and well, I won't say all, because Dalton Schultz has really stepped up and become like that tight end that people thought he should be when he was in Dallas.
Right.
He had this one catch in the red zone where it was like, how in the hell did he get that? Like, I 100% thought, even when I watched the replay, I was like, man, he didn't have that. And
right.
Then when they slowed it down and did, you know, slow-mo replay, I was like, shit, like, that's that dude.
That was a good catch too, man.
Yeah, but, you know, we went into that game with no C.J. Stroud, no Tank Dell, no Nico Collins, no Will Anderson, you know, right. And we still held Derrick Henry to 9 rushing yards.
Yep.
The lowest amount of rushing yards that Derrick Henry has ever had.
Yeah, it's crazy to think. Yeah. And also, if you look at – go ahead. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, so that is why you don't wear the Oilers colors against Houston.
I knew it was coming. Yes. Yes. Because you sent the message in our little football group chat. You were like, these disrespectful motherfuckers. Fuck the Titans. How are you going to wear the Houston Oilers jersey? I'm like – I mean, technically, it's still their franchise, but I get it. And it's, yeah, I totally understand why you would feel that way. But yeah, go ahead.
You're right. Technically, they do own the rights to the franchise, but those are Houston colors.
Oh, I agree. I agree. That's Warren Moon. That's Earl Campbell. I get it.
That's the Love You Blues.
Yep.
and they've always been associated with Houston. Tennessee wears them as a throwback because technically they own the rights to it. And the Adams family, they are some fuck nuts and refuse. The McNairs have tried on multiple occasions to buy the rights back to the colors.
Right.
And they just won't sell them. They're like, no, that's our history. No, it's not your history. That's Houston's history. You now reside in Tennessee. Shut the fuck up and produce a winning football team.
Right. But man, I mean, God, Lee, you had just as much sacks on the day, man. Desmond King had a sack. Derek Barnett had a sack. Malik Collins had a sack and a half. Jonathan Grenard had 2.5 sacks. You know, Khalil Davis had a sack. I mean, you guys were just, you know. And the one part in overtime, because, I mean, granted, it was going back and forth. I know people hate the overtime rules. I think the overtime rules need to be definitely reviewed over. Because now it's like, if you kick a field goal, the other team has an opportunity to kick a field goal. And if you both kick field goals and the next score wins, sudden death, you know, that whole thing.
Right.
But I can't remember if it was Damian Pierce or if it was Devin Singletary.
It was Singletary. Pierce only got one touch this game, and Dare Ogunbowale got one touch.
Bless you. But yeah, when Singletary ran it in, I was like, ball game. And then flag. I was like, no, these bastards didn't do it. You know, turns out I was holding. It was like, ah, you fucked up. You know, but then you had Cobby Fairbairn come in and kick that 59-yarder. And I was like, okay, it's like 3 seconds left in the game. If he misses this, then it's going to be the first tie of the season. But he made it 59 yards. And I was like, whoo, that's the dude. Because Cobby was hurt, wasn't he? He was like out for about a month or so.
He was out for 5 games.
Okay.
And we played one with Dare Ogunbowale as the kicker, and he's a running back. Right. But I thought he did pretty well, you know, having never played that position before.
Right.
And then we, you know, signed Matt Amendola off of the practice squad, and that dude is just dumpster fire trash. Mm. So.
Yeah. They found that out in Arizona, unfortunately. But that being said, man, obviously great victory by the Houston Texans. The Texans have now risen to let me go back and look at the damn thing. I'm sorry. The Houston Texans are now
eight and six, which is
8-6 for the Houston Texans. I honestly think they far exceeded expectations as to where people thought that they were going to be at the start of the year, especially all of us here at Movement Radio. We all thought that the Texans were going to be at last in that division.
Yes.
And now they have a possibility of being first in that division. So they could possibly pull off the win and win that division. You know, then it's just a matter of, you know, seeding and where you go from there. But that being said, let's move on to I'm sorry. Before we get to the Monday night and the Sunday night, I just want to say fuck the Cowboys. I'm not a Bills fan, obviously, but they did beat the Cowboys 31-10. And anytime Dallas loses, it just warms the cockles of my heart. But let's get to the Sunday nighter, the Ravens and the Jaguars. The Baltimore Ravens win 23-7 in a game that I felt wasn't even close. You know, I mean, it was 10-0 at halftime. Jacksonville scored in the third. Yeah, it's kind of close there for a minute, and then it was almost like, nah, let's just end the damn thing. You know, they pulled off the victory in the end. How did you feel ultimately about Baltimore and Jacksonville?
I was glad Baltimore won. That now makes Houston tied for first in the AFC South.
Three ways. Yep.
Yeah, it's a three-way tie. I will get into it, but I don't think that Jacksonville is going to win this week either. And we'll talk about that when we get to it. I mean, it makes me happy to see that Jacksonville's losing.
Right. Right. What makes you feel better? The fact that Jacksonville is losing, or the fact that Indianapolis is losing? Because I mean, which like every one of us has that one team that we hate. Mine's the Jets, obviously. Would yours be? I mean, and I'm talking about like interdivisional rivalry, because everybody hates the Cowboys, so that's on the show. So, you know, so would it be the Colts? Would it be the Titans? Or would it be the Jaguars for you?
I hate the Titans more than the rest of them.
Oh, okay, because of the Houston colors thing, I'm assuming.
Yes,
that and the Adams family is kind of weird in a sense, you know. But anyway, but that was the that was Jacksonville and Baltimore. Let's move on to a game I don't think any of us saw coming. The Philadelphia Eagles and the Seattle Seahawks, a game that I legitimately was like, okay, Philly's done lost two, but they lost to two great teams. They lost to the 49ers. They lost to the Cowboys. This is, it's fine. It's an anomaly. They'll bounce right back with Seattle. And then Seattle pulls away with the victory, 20-17, with Drew Locke as their quarterback. I don't know what to say to that. Go ahead, man. What's your take on this? Dumbfounded. Dumbfounded is the word I think you would say for this, right?
Yeah.
Because Drew Locke is not that good. You know?
You're right. He's not that good. But the Eagles were without Jalen Hurts as well. Right?
Let me look.
Correct,
he played. No, he played.
I know he was a game time decision, and I was pretty sure that he didn't play because he had been dealing with an illness for several days.
Yeah.
Up until that could have a little bit to do with the Eagles offense not producing that well.
He was 17 of 31, 143 yards, two interceptions. And in the rushing category, he ran 13 times for 82 yards and two touchdowns.
Right.
So go ahead, continue. I'm sorry. I just want to get them stats out for you real quick.
I was shocked. That's now three in a row that the Eagles have lost. They're going to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. They've already clinched.
They have 10 wins. It's not looking good.
It's not.
You know?
Yeah. So those are the games for week 15. Before we get to the power rankings, I'm going to go through the playoff picture real quick. Let me just jump back to this real quick. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I can just do that. Boom. Here we go. All right. So if we're looking at the playoff picture, only one spot in the AFC. We'll kick it off with the AFC first. Only one spot in the AFC is already clinched, and that's the Baltimore Ravens. They've clinched a playoff spot. They haven't clinched home field advantage yet. Chances are they haven't clinched the AFC North yet either, but they have clinched the playoff berth. So that's the only AFC team who has. As far as other playoff teams or playoff contending teams, Miami is at number two. Miami Dolphins are two. Kansas City Chiefs at three. Jacksonville is at four. And your three wildcard teams are the Cleveland Browns, the Cincinnati Bengals, and the Indianapolis Colts. And the Houston Texans, the Buffalo Bills, the Pittsburgh Steelers round out that top 10 of being closest ones on the bubble. However, Steelers and the Broncos, who are at 11, are 7-7. So there's a toss up there as to who can make it, because all these teams, even the Chargers at 5-9, still have a shot to make the postseason. And of course, after the loss to the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans have now officially been eliminated from postseason contention. And so the New York Jets. I laughed my ass off when I said, oh, the Jets are out of the playoffs. Yes. Moving over to the NFC, though. Three teams have already clinched playoff berths.
Is that three teams that have effectively been eliminated?
Yeah, they've been mathematically eliminated.
Four total. Well,
no, there's three total. The Patriots in the AFC, there's three teams total. The Patriots, okay. The Jets, and the Titans. Ironically enough, the Titans are at 5-9, but the Chargers are also at 5-9, but they have not been eliminated yet because they hold tiebreakers. And if for whatever reason they win out and all these other teams for some reason fall apart, they could possibly jump them. But, you know, that's it's not impossible, but it's very unlikely to happen. So chances are the Chargers, especially after this week, are probably going to get eliminated. But we'll get back to that in just a second. Moving over to the NFC side, there are three teams who have clinched the NFC, who have clinched playoff berths in the NFC. The San Francisco 49ers at number one, the Dallas Cowboys at two, and the Philadelphia Eagles, who have the wild card spot at number five. At third place is the Detroit Lions. In fourth place is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 7-7. And then your other two wildcard teams are the Minnesota Vikings and the LA Rams, both sitting at 7-7. But you also have the Seahawks at 8, the Saints at 9, who are also 7-7. And then you have the Falcons, who are 6-8 at that 10 spot. Ironically enough, the Chicago Bears, who we all thought were going to be the bottom of the fucking barrel, they're 5-9, and they still have a shot to at least try to get to a playoff. It's going to take a lot of, you know, teams collapsing, but also the Arizona Cardinals and the Washington Commanders, with a 3-11 record and a 4-10 record, have now been mathematically eliminated from postseason contention as well. So we have six teams completely eliminated from postseason contention, and we have 13 teams in each who are vying for playoff spots. Four in the NFC and six in the AFC. At this point, it's all about seeding. And there's a lot of teams that are very, very close, especially in the AFC South, because you have the Colts, you have the Texans, and you have the Jaguars all sitting at 8-6. And these next 3 weeks, if the Texans win out, they can win the AFC South.
Yes.
And all the Dolphins have to do to clinch the AFC East is they have to win this week and Buffalo has to lose. It's not going to happen, but the Dolphins would be, I think the Dolphins could win this week. I hope they can win this week. The way they've been playing, yeah, I think we can win this week. But that being said, let's move on to the power rankings this week. We're going to kick it off, obviously, with our teams here on Movement Radio. The Denver Broncos have dropped down three spots to the number 14 spot. The Houston Texans have bumped up one spot to the 11th position, and now the top 10. At number 10, moving down one spot, the Jacksonville Jaguars. At number 9, moving down one spot, are the Cleveland Browns. At number 8, bumping up two spots, are the Buffalo Bills. The Lions stay at 7. The Chiefs stay at 6. The Eagles drop down 1 to 5. The Dolphins are at 4 and moved up a spot to number 4. The Dallas Cowboys are at 3, with Baltimore at 2 and San Francisco at 1. How? Like, I get that you've already clinched a playoff spot. I get that. But you lost bad to the Buffalo Bills. How did you stay at the number 3 spot? What are your thoughts?
I don't get that. But you know, stranger things have happened, I guess you could say.
Yeah. If this was the college playoff, they'd be in. I guess that's the way they're doing
that's,
it now.
That's true.
You know. But that's the power rankings for this week, week 16 of the NFL. And that being said, Bubba, I think we're good to go to week 16 and
ready for week 16. Man.
And Christmas week. It's the Christmas games, man. Everyone's gonna be celebrating. So
yes.
Should be fun.
So we'll start off week 16 with our Thursday nighter, of course. We've got the New Orleans Saints versus the Los Angeles Rams. Now, the Rams are a 4-point favorite, with the over-under being at 46.5. I'm going to go with the Rams here. Both teams are sitting at 7-7. I just think that the Rams have been playing a little better than the Saints have lately. You know, the so I'm going to go Rams.
I am also going to go with the Rams. You know, they got their mojo back, or should I say Matthew Stafford found his groove again. You know, Cooper Kupp's still a beast. Tutu Atwell's, you know, Puka Nacua. Their defense with Aaron Donald is still good. And the Saints are good, but, you know, if you put a gun in my head right now, I mean, I could say both teams are pretty much mid, but I think the Rams are a little bit better, so I give them a slight edge. So I'm going to go with LA to win this one.
All right. Chad is also going to go with LA. Chad was the only one who sent picks in this week. Braden's still dealing with some stuff, and so is Roger. Right. So they did not send in picks, so it's just you, me, and Chad on this one. So then we're going to bump over to our we have two Saturday games this week. Mm-hmm. The first of which is the Bengals versus the Steelers. Cincinnati is a 2.5 favorite, with the over and under only being at 36.5.
Seems low, don't it?
Yeah, I like the Bengals in this one. I mean, the Steelers still have, you know, a fairly good defense. I'm just not happy with their offense at all. Mm-hmm. And the Bengals with Jake Browning look maybe, I might get some hate for this, but I think they look a little better than they did with Joe Burrow. Just from the eye test, you know, as a fan watching, the eye test shows me that they look a little better than Joe Burrow. I mean, you know, they beat Jacksonville in overtime. They beat Indy straight up. They beat the Vikings in overtime and scored, you know, 30 points in each of those games. Right. So I'm going to go Bengals to win here.
I'm also going to go with the Bengals to win this one. I think the Steelers have a good, I mean, obviously the home field advantage does help the Steelers out a lot. And, you know, Tomlin's going to get his guys ready. But yeah, something, I don't know, man, the Bengals, for some reason, it feels different without Joe Burrow there, but at the same, different doesn't necessarily have to be bad. Does that make sense? Right. Like, it's different having Jake Browning back there, but at the same time, it's like, okay, like I understand that I'm the backup. This is Joe Burrow's team. I understand that, but damn it, I'm going to play my ass off. And you know what? Maybe I can get a shot somewhere else. Maybe somebody will trade for me and, you know, make me their starter. You know what I mean? Maybe that's what he's doing throughout these games. Maybe he's proving people, hey, I can be a starter. I might not be able to be a starter here in Cincinnati because it's Joe Burrow. You know, everyone loves Joe Burrow, but I'm pretty sure there's a place out there that's going to want Jake Browning. So
I would say so.
Oh yeah. I mean, golly, New England, I think, would take him in a heartbeat, to be honest.
New England, Seattle,
Arizona.
I don't know. I still think they're bought into the Kyler Murray effect. You know, maybe the Raiders. Raiders might take him. I don't know, after what they did last week to the Chargers. Maybe they're you know, not really looking right now, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But yeah, so, we all got Cincinnati across the board.
Yeah, Chad also has Cincinnati. Cool. Next up is our Saturday night game, and this is the Buffalo Bills versus the aforementioned LA Chargers. Yeah. Buffalo is an 11.5 point favorite, with the over under being 43.5.
That's it.
Yeah, no explanation. No explanation needed. I'm going with the Bills here. The Chargers just are not, they're not clicking, especially now that they are without Justin Herbert. They definitely are not clicking. So I'm going Bills here.
Easton Stick is ass water. He is not a good quarterback. But yeah, I hate to say it, man, but yeah, I got Buffalo too. Because, you know, I need Buffalo to lose a game so we can clinch. But it is what it is, man. Yeah, I'm gonna go Buffalo to win this one, you know.
All right, Chad's also going with the Bills. So that's, you know, we're 3 for 3 here.
Yep.
Next up, we're going to start our round of Sunday games. We got the Indianapolis Colts versus the Atlanta Falcons. Now, here's what's going to blow your mind.
Go ahead.
The Falcons are a 1-point favorite with the over-under at 44.5. I don't know if they're giving them the 1-point favorite because they're at home, but they, the Falcons, so the Colts just lost to Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. They just beat Pittsburgh after losing to the Bengals. The Falcons just lost to the Carolina Panthers.
After losing to the Bucks, yes.
Where the Panthers scored only 9 points.
Yep. I went and watched the highlight video.
They scored 3 field goals to win that game.
I actually watched the highlights of that this week. The highlight video was only, you know how most highlight videos are anywhere between 10 to 15 minutes, depending on if the game goes into overtime or not?
Yep.
The Falcons Panthers highlight video was 6 minutes. 6 minutes, 42 seconds. I timed it. Like, now what's, golly.
What's crazy is that the Falcons only scored 7 points this game after scoring 25 against Tampa Bay. So it's like, where did that, like, how do you go from 25 to 7? We know Carolina's defense is not that good. We know that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And the fact that, I mean, let's be honest, man. I'll say it again. The NFC South is mid as fuck. It's not even bottom tier. It's volunteer. Like, it's bad. You know, I would say, golly. Obviously, I think the Colts are going to win this one. I think that they've done a good job. Obviously, you know, our thoughts and prayers go out to Michael Pittman Jr., that nasty hit. Did you see that hit?
I did see that hit, but I also seen that man got up and walked off that field on his own.
Yeah, and they still suspended that Steelers player for the rest of the season based off of that. The ruling came down today that he's been suspended for the rest of the year.
I don't think he deserves to be suspended for the rest of the year. Yeah. I don't feel like he didn't lead with his helmet. I watched that.
Yeah.
He didn't lead with his helmet. He hit with the shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I think that the reason that it looked so bad is because Michael Pittman Jr. was already airborne.
Yeah.
You know, he was diving when the Steelers player, and I'm sorry, I just cannot remember his name.
Me neither. It's number 23, I think.
Yeah, when he dove to make the tackle, it to me, it looks like a clean hit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the reason they're suspending him, and I don't think it should be for the rest of the season, but, you know, that could only be 2 more games, you know, for the Steelers, or three more games. Is because he left his feet to make the tackle. I just don't feel like it was egregious.
I don't think it was egregious either. And I think once again it's the NFL kind of stepping over the boundaries, because it's like, you know, we play a fight. We, regardless of whether it's physical or finesse, it's still a violent game. It's still a contact sport, and you're gonna get hit.
Right.
And they teach these guys how to tackle safe, and they teach these guys, you know, the best way to tackle, you know, because unfortunately it's like this, gone are the days of, you remember how ESPN used to do the jacked up segments on, you know, every, like when a defensive player makes a clean hit, you know, like I guarantee, like we talked about it before, the Shelton Brown hit on Reggie Bush. You know, when Reggie Bush caught the swing pass and Sheldon Brown came out of nowhere and rocked his world. I guarantee you, if that hit took place in today's NFL, Sheldon Brown would be suspended.
Oh, 100%.
He wouldn't even be. And the thing about it was a clean hit. If you go back and watch the play, it was a clean hit. He didn't leave with his helmet, hit him right between the numbers. But because Reggie Bush got up, but then went right back down and started crawling back to the huddle, I still think it's the funniest shit I ever seen in a football game. But yeah, that would be they would have called it today. They would have said, yeah, that you gotta. May I don't know if they would suspend him, but I think they disqualify him for the rest of that game. I think so. But
yeah, 100%.
Unfortunately, you can't make even a hit that hard. Even if it's clean, they still call it. It's fucking stupid, but whatever. All right, let's move on to the next. We think we're Colts all across the board on this one.
Colts across the board there.
All right.
But I do hope this
that the
this
Falcons is win. Me. Yes.
I hope that the Falcons do win.
Right. Right.
I really do. But
right. I mean, hell, I want the Chargers to win, but let's see what happens. That'd be funnier than hell, wouldn't it?
I think the Falcons have a better chance of beating the Colts than the Chargers have of beating the Bills.
I agree.
But it's any given Sunday, and yep. Stranger things have happened. Yes.
Look at week 7. Look at week 14. Like, shit happens. Shit can happen. All right, let's go next game.
Next up, we got the Seahawks versus the Titans. Now, the Seahawks are a 3-point favorite with the over-under being 41.5. I really don't care who wins this game.
No.
The Titans are out of the playoffs, so whatever. But I'm going with the Seahawks to win because fuck the Titans.
I think the Titans would probably make it a game because obviously they're mathematically eliminated from postseason contention, so they don't have nothing to lose. So
nope, but they can still play spoiler.
Exactly. I don't want to say that they will because I've seen how poorly they played against the Houston Texans. And Seattle just came off of beating the Eagles. And Seattle does have a legitimate shot to get into the playoffs if they, if they win out and certain teams fall. I'm going to go with the Seahawks to win this game. I think it's going to be a good game, though. But I got Seahawks win.
Yeah. And that's Seahawks across the board there. Next up, we go with the Detroit Lions versus the Minnesota Vikings. Mm-hmm. Detroit is a 3.5-point favorite with the over-under at 46.5. This one is a little kind of iffy for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you look back at the last five games and the Lions have won 3 of their 5, losing to Green Bay and Chicago. That right. Chicago loss is a little wonky.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the Vikings, they in their last 5 games, they've only won 2 of the last 5.
Right.
And one of those wins was 3-0.
Yeah.
Against the Raiders.
Yeah.
I say that to say that I think my gut is telling me that the Lions are going to win. I feel like the Lions are the better team. Mm-hmm. But the Vikings have really been playing a lot better with Josh Dobbs under center.
Oh yeah. I think their defense is still somewhat a little bit better than Detroit. But that offensively, I still got to go with the Lions in this one. Because the Justin Jefferson came back and then he's right back out. Am I correct upon that?
I believe that is correct.
Yeah.
If I'm
Justin Jefferson, I'm like, yo, take the rest of the year off and save your, at least stay out. If your team survives and makes it to the playoffs, at least you'll have a chance to play in the playoff game. But I don't know. I think this is going to it ain't going to mathematically eliminate them, but I do think that Detroit's going to win this game. If I'm not mistaken, if Detroit wins this game, I think they clinch a playoff spot and possibly – if they win this game, I think they clinch the NFC North, if I'm not mistaken.
I think that is correct because put them at 11 wins.
That'll put them at 11 wins, and then the closest team to them would be the Vikings, and they would have 7 wins. And even if, I think that would work. Yeah, I think that I think that I think that I think they would be. I mean, they'll definitely clinch a playoff berth.
Right.
So, you know, so there's your third seed, unless somehow Dallas falls apart, which they've been known to do, and then they could rise to number two in the NFC. But we'll see what happens. I think that's, is this Lions across the board, or is Chad going Vikings?
No, this is Lions across the board.
Yeah. He bought into the hype, ladies and gentlemen.
I don't know if he bought into the hype or he just knows that
the Vikings the suck.
Yeah.
Maybe so. I don't know.
So we move on from there and we go to the Washington Commanders versus the New York Jets, where the Jets are actually a 3-point favorite with the over under being 37.5.
Welcome to the What the Fuck We Got to Lose Bowl, pretty much.
This one was I don't know versus and I don't care.
Yep.
As much as it pains me to say, I think the Jets actually pull the win off here over the Commanders. You know, the Commanders, I don't want to say they're tanking, but they're definitely not playing well. And their earlier in the season, they traded away two of their best defensive players.
Yeah. For draft picks and capital and stuff like that.
Yeah. So, you know, they're looking to go into next year's draft with a little more, capital for them, I would say. But yeah, as much as it pains me to say, I think the Jets win this one.
Yeah. I got the Jets winning too, just cause their defense is so much better than Washington's is. But still, fuck the Jets. I'm gonna pick them to win, but fuck them. I don't care. All right, what we got next? Oh, has Chad also got the Jets, or is he going Washington?
Chad is actually gonna go Commanders.
Okay. This one. Okay. That works.
So let's see. Next up on our list is Packers versus Panthers. Now this is going to be played at Bank of America Stadium. I wonder if they're going to be selling tickets for like $4 a ticket this week as well.
That video, I sent you guys that video of it was a video from like 2015. Okay, in 2015 when they went to the Super Bowl and they had the home game, and it's like full of people. And it was like this, it was an hour before the game and the stadium was full. Then the very next video was 18 minutes before kickoff, and there's barely like 3,000 people in the stadium. It's like, golly, they fell on some hard times, you know?
Right.
It looks like the Jaguars, like post Maurice Jones-Drew days. You know what I mean? Back when Blake Bortles was the quarterback. Oh, those are some dark times.
Now Green Bay is only a 5-point favorite to win this game, with the over under being at 36.5. I'm gonna go Packers here. I don't think that the Panthers have the ability to beat the Packers. Again, stranger things have happened, but I just don't see it happening.
I knew the Panthers were going to get at least one to two games, but it ain't going to be against. Here's the thing: the Packers are not as bad as I thought they were going to be. I thought that they were going to be bottom of the barrel bad, but Jordan Love has proven to be that dude in Green Bay now. So we'll see what happens, because Green Bay has this weird thing where for some reason they have to not start their quarterback for almost 2 to 3 years. And then once they get their first big start, they're like the quarterback for the next 15, 16 years. You know, it happened with Brett Favre. It happened with Aaron Rodgers. So maybe it's going to happen to Jordan Love. I don't know. But overall, man, yeah, Packers are going to win this game. I see no scenario in which the Panthers could pull out a victory against the Packers.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly, I couldn't tell you who was the just off the top of my head, who the Green Bay Packers quarterback was prior to Brett Favre.
I remember Bart Starr, but that was back in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it? Bart Starr was the 60s, yeah, because Green Bay won the first Super Bowl. So,
right.
So, yeah, it was Bart Starr. Yeah, so Bart Starr. And then it's like lull of like irrelevant quarterbacks that really no one knew. And then Brett Favre showed up in like 90, what was it, 91, 92, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I don't even know. You know what?
I've already got it.
Go ahead. Who was it?
It was Anthony Dwilling? Anthony Dilwig.
Okay.
Yes.
You could have said Anthony Dipshit. I would have believed you.
I mean, he only started 7 games before Brett Favre.
Ow.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And then Brett Favre was there from 92 to 2007. Then you had Matt Flynn for a couple of years. I think he was just a backup.
Yeah, he was a backup. Hey, it got him a big ass payday for Seattle, though. Seattle paid him a shit ton of money.
Yeah.
But you know, then they discovered Russell Wilson and they never looked back. So that's what happened with Matt Flynn.
Right.
But anyway.
So yeah. There's that. You know, so Rodgers was the quarterback from 05 to 22. And Brett Favre was there from 92 to 2007. Before that, really, their longest tenured, you had Lynn Dickey from 76 to 85. And Bart Starr from 56 to 71. Yeah. Everybody else was just Randy White from 84 to 88. But everybody else is like 7 games here, 5 games there, nothing.
No major. Steadiness. No steadiness at the quarterback position.
No, they're 4 steadiest. You had Lynn Dickey, he started 101 games. Brett Favre started 253 games. Aaron Rodgers, 223 games. Bart Starr, 157 games, and then Randy Wright with like 32 games. So anyway, moving on. That was Packers across the board, by the way.
I had a feeling.
Yeah. So moving on from there, we move on to the Cleveland Browns versus the Houston Texans. Cleveland is a 2-point favorite with the over under being 41.5.
Is CJ, how many of your starters are going to be back this week? Is CJ going to be back this week?
They're still listed as questionable. Okay. CJ Stroud, George Fant, Blake Cashman, Nico Collins, and Will Anderson are all listed as questionable.
Okay.
Now I will reserve, you know, until later in the week. You know, we do record midweek here, so we can get the picks out to you guys by Thursday. But you know, I will reserve to see when those players, you know, if they're still on the IR as of Friday, then they're probably not. Or if they're still on the injury report as of Friday, chances are they're not going to play.
Right.
But I have faith in my team, and I think that the Texans are going to win this game. Yes, the Browns have a top 5 defense, but as you could see from last week, the Texans' defense is nothing to bat your eyes at. Even
right.
without their star defensive end in Will Anderson, they held the Titans, they held Derrick Henry, they held Spears, they held D-Hop, you know, to almost nothing. And I trust the Texans' offense. Even if CJ Stroud doesn't start and Case Keenum is the starter, I trust that offense just slightly more with Case Keenum starting over the Browns offense,
right,
with Joe Flacco starting.
Whew. Yeah, I mean, okay.
So I say that to say that I am going to rock with my guys here, and I'm rocking with the Texans.
I appreciate your enthusiasm. I really, really do. The thing about it is, for me, though, is that the Cleveland Browns, to me, they might as well call them the Cleveland Roller Coasters, because they are literally doing this all year. Some games are up, some games are down, some games you don't know what you're going to get. But I just, I hate to say it, man, I just got this weird gut feeling that it's going to be a close game and Cleveland's going to pull a fast one. I feel like Cleveland's going to win this one. I'd like to see the Texans win, but something's telling me Cleveland's going to pull this win off, man. I hate it for you, but I definitely think that they're going to win this one. I'm sorry.
Don't hate it for me. Don't hate it for me.
Yeah.
Chad is also going with the Browns to win this one. So, you know, I'll be that lone man to ride with my team through the thick and the thin. I feel like they really want that playoff game.
Right.
And beating the Browns is going to put them in the driver's seat. You know, that playoff game this year is Houston's to lose.
Right. Well,
point.
Well, if you think about it, if the Texans do beat the Browns, you would actually overtake the Browns in the wild card spot, because y'all have the same record and you own the tiebreaker against them.
Well, and we also would overtake the Jaguars because they lost to the Browns.
Would you, though? Because you guys, if Jacksonville wins, that you guys would have the same record, but y'all or
but we,
have you,
we would
have you,
we,
but you've we already split. You've already. You've already beat Jacksonville, though, right?
We beat Jacksonville once, lost to them once, but we would own the tiebreaker because they lost to Cleveland.
And you beat Cleveland. That makes sense to me. Okay.
Right. But speaking of the Jaguars, they are going to play against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this week.
Mm-hmm.
Tampa Bay is a one-point favorite, with the over-under being at 43.5. Now, as of this recording, Trevor Lawrence is not the QB for the Jaguars because he is in concussion protocol.
Yep.
Came back, you know, from an injury. He was right back out with a concussion. I don't think that they play him.
No, they shouldn't. They're dumb if they do.
Yeah. Because they're going to make... In my opinion, the Jaguars are going to make the playoffs, whether it's as the AFC South champs or in that wild card, they're going to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
So do you hold Trevor Lawrence, which I think they should, and make sure he's healthy for that playoff run? Or do you put him back out there if the doctors say he's clear and take the chance of him getting hurt again and being out for the season? I don't think they should play him at all. So
if they don't play him, then their chances of winning this game against the Buccaneers go down tremendously.
I think even if they play him, with the way that the Bucs have been playing lately, you know, the Jaguars are on a 3-game losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Buccaneers are on a 3-game winning streak.
Right.
So I think this is going to be a really good game. I think it'll be better if Trevor Lawrence is healthy and plays, but I think the Bucs win this game.
I think the Bucs win it too. I do. I feel like the Bucs, even if the Bucs, I think the Bucs can actually, depending on the rest of the schedule, I think the Bucs could probably win out. I think they could probably win out the rest of the year. Let me go to their schedule just real quick.
Well, so they got the Jaguars this week,
right?
The Saints next week,
and then the Falcons, right?
And then the Panthers.
Oh, the Panthers.
They end with the Panthers.
I can see them winning out.
I can see them winning their next three games. Like I said, I think they win. They beat the Jags this week, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to positive.
It's going to be close against the Saints, but I think they can win it.
Yeah, I think they can pull that win off, and I have no doubt that they can beat the Panthers.
Right.
So, you know, they've already beat the Panthers once.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, when it comes down to the Saints, did they beat?
They beat the Saints already.
Yeah, they beat the Saints 26-9. They swept the Falcons.
Yeah, they'll probably sweep the division.
It's very possible that they could sweep the division.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but so we both got Buccaneers.
Chad is going to go with the Jaguars here.
Okay. That's cool.
I mean, I'm not mad at him.
Me neither. I get it.
I need the Bucks to win. Don't get me wrong. So.
We'll see what happens.
Yes. So next game on the docket is the Arizona Cardinals versus the Chicago Bears.
The Bears.
Now this is going to be played in Chicago, where Chicago is a 4.5 point favorite, with the over under being at 44.5. This one. I'm a little conflicted on, because if you look at the Cardinals, right, they have been scoring points since Kyler Murray came back. You know,
right.
they scored 25 against Atlanta. They scored 16 against Houston. They scored 14 against the Rams. 10 against Pittsburgh, but then they turn around and they score 29 against the 49ers, and you're like, how?
Yeah.
You know,
is that more of the Arizona Cardinals, or is that more the 49ers? The 49ers let this team, who is pretty much really down in the dumps at this point, and you let them score? Like, is it one, or was it a situation of the 49ers taking the Arizona Cardinals too lightly?
I think the 49ers maybe have taken the Cardinals a little too lightly.
Yeah.
But I say all that to say that I think that the Bears can pull this win off and, beat the Cardinals.
I think they could beat the Cardinals too. I'm also going to go with the Bears. Chicago, they're not rebuilding. They're more redesigning. If that makes sense. Like, you got to figure out a way to put the right pieces around Justin Fields. You got to do a better job of, you definitely have to rebuild your offensive line, because that's one of the worst in the league. And also your defense has got to get better too at the same time. But that being said though, I like them in this matchup a whole hell of a lot more than I like the Cardinals, because besides Kyler Murray, what do you have? Nothing, you know?
Exactly.
So I'm going to go with the Bears.
All right. So next up, we got the Dallas Cowboys versus Miami.
Who did Chad go with?
Chad went Bears as well. I'm sorry.
I'm surprised.
because he's Murray.
Yeah.
Yeah. he's a Murray-holic.
There you go. He's a Kyler buyer.
Yeah. So next up, we've got the Dallas Cowboys versus the Miami Dolphins.
Fuck both Cowboys.
Both of these teams are sitting at 10-4.
Yes.
This is going to be played at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yes.
Where Miami is only a 1.5 point favorite.
This is a pick 'em.
With the over under at 51.5.
Woo. Golly. So roughly 25 points apiece, basically.
I mean, it's very doable.
I think so too.
Yeah, it's very doable, because if you look at the last five games for the Cowboys, they beat Carolina, by scoring 33 points. They beat Washington by scoring 45 points. They beat Seattle by scoring 41 points. They beat Philadelphia by scoring 33 points. But then they lose to the Bills and only scored 10.
Yep.
On the flip side, you have the Dolphins, who beat the Raiders 20 by scoring 20, beat the Jets by scoring 34, beat Washington by scoring 45, beat lost to Tennessee by scoring 27, and then turned right back around and beat the Jets by 30.
So
both of these teams can put up points, is what I'm saying.
So
that over under doesn't seem too terribly ridiculous to me.
No, not at all.
I would almost go with the over on this one.
Mm-hmm. I would too.
Almost. Because somebody's defense is going to have to step up and keep the other team from scoring.
And I will admit, Dallas has a better defense than Miami does.
Dallas has a better defense than Miami, yes. I think Miami has the better offense.
Oh, yeah.
In this situation. I'm going with the Dolphins to win, but I don't think this is going to be a blowout.
Oh, no.
I think this is going to be very possibly, this game is going to be our overtime game.
Yeah.
Where the Dolphins win by a field goal. In my opinion.
Right. There's been a lot of games on the docket that the Miami has had. Here's my only thing with Miami, and I love my team, but this is one of those games. This, in my opinion, this is a must-win game for Miami.
I think so.
And I'll explain why. To the people who don't know, I'll explain why. We can put up 70 points on the Denver Broncos. We could put up 45 points on the Washington Commanders. We can beat up these little bitty teams, these small teams that don't really have a lot going on for them. But the Bills put up 42 on us. The Eagles put up 31 on us. The Chiefs put up they only put up 21 on us, but it was all in the first half, and we literally had to fight to try to make another run, and we couldn't do that. Tennessee came back from being down 14 points with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
But hold on.
Oh, go ahead.
But then you have terrible teams like the Broncos scored 20. You beat them. You scored 70, but you allowed them to score 20.
Mm-hmm.
You allowed the Patriots 17. You allowed the Giants 16. You allowed the Panthers 21.
Yeah.
You allowed the Patriots in the second game to score 17. You allowed the Raiders to score 13. You allowed the Jets to score 13 in the first game. You allowed the Commanders 15. You know, so you're also allowing terrible teams to score a couple of times.
Right. So. Dallas, right. Well, see, Dallas has that defense, though. Now, Dallas does have four losses on their record.
Correct.
But the four losses that they have, I think, are like the damn Arizona Cardinals beat them down, you know. Then they lost to the Bills, a team that, you know, beat us 42-28. So, right. So now you're at it's a must win for the Dolphins because we have to prove that we can beat a great team in the big moment. And I think Sunday afternoon on Fox, game of the week, this is the big moment for the Miami Dolphins. I'm riding with my Dolphins. I'm going to pick them to win the game. It's an emotional pick because, damn it, you got to prove you belong here. This is the perfect matchup in some people's regard. It's the best offense versus the best defense. But that's not the matchup you need to worry about. You need to worry about that Dolphins defense versus this Cowboys offense. Because if the Cowboys offense that showed up last week shows up this week, I think we could pull off the victory. But if that Miami Dolphins offense that showed up to play against Tennessee, especially the fourth quarter, show up, we're going to have us some problems. But I'm throwing my hat in. I'm going with Miami to pull this victory off.
All right. That's Dolphins across the board.
Okay, good. I honestly thought I was going to be alone in that one, though, because the Cowboys are just doing so good. You know what I mean?
Right. But now we move on to our Sunday night football game. Why this is a primetime game, I don't know. It should not be. That Dolphins-Cowboys game should probably be the Sunday nighter, in my opinion. But we're going to talk about the New England Patriots versus the Denver Broncos, where Denver is a 7-point favorite with the over-under at 34.5.
As they should be, yes.
I'm going to go Broncos to win this one. I'm not going to say much of anything about this game because I 100% do not believe that this should be a primetime game. Now, I realize that these primetime games are set up well in advance.
But they flex after week 15, I thought.
I think they should because
they moved the Kansas City game back last week.
Right. I think they should start flexing sooner than week 15. Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have another gripe here when we start talking when we start talking about the Monday games, and I'll get to that one when I get to that.
I got you.
I'm going Broncos to win this one.
I'm going Broncos to win this one. Fuck the Patriots, and Bill Belichick's out of the door. So I'm not saying Bill Belichick will phone it in, but he might phone it in. I got the Broncos.
All right. That's going to be Broncos across the board here.
Yes.
All right. Now we're going to start over on our Monday night game or Monday games. The Christmas games. Game.
Yes.
Christmas Day games. The first one on the docket is the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Kansas City Chiefs, where Kansas City is a 10-point favorite with the over-under being at 41.5.
That makes sense.
I'm going to go Chiefs to win this one, but by George, if the Raiders from Week 15 show up, this is going to be a fucking game.
I kind of hope that happens, to be honest with you.
I do too.
And it's going to be funny because the game is not only going to be played on CBS, but it's also going to be played on Nickelodeon. It's the Christmas Day game on Nickelodeon.
Right.
The winner gets slimed or some shit. I don't know. I don't know. You know, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift might make an appearance on there. I don't fucking care. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Chiefs to win the game. But I really hope the Raiders win. I really hope the Raiders pull off technically, this would be an upset. Technically, it would be.
Technically, yes.
And if the Chiefs lose, they go to 9-6. And if they go 9-6 and the Broncos win and the Raiders do weak, the AFC West could look a little bit different by the end of the year if things keep going the way they're going for Kansas City. We'll see what happens.
Right.
Hopefully Kadarius Toney don't go off sides this week. Oh, he was all mad. Right. He was mad.
Hey, line up in the right spot.
Right? No, there was another video that came out. Kadarius Toney, something happened where he dropped a pass. It would have been a touchdown pass, and then they ended up having to kick a field goal. Mahomes came off the field and he threw his helmet. He didn't throw it down as bad as he threw it down during the Bills game, but he tossed it down. You just hear him just screaming at Matt Nagy, I think. And you faint, like someone, I think a lip reader said something about GD it, you know, why can't he catch the ball, blah, blah, blah. And then they automatically cut to a shot of Kadarius Toney. I was like, oh, that's why he's mad. Okay, I get it.
Yep.
37 drop passes this season, the most by any team over the last 10 years. It's crazy. All right, but let's move on.
All right. The next one is what I'm going to a tiny little gripe about.
Okay. Did Chad pick the Chiefs?
Chad did pick the Chiefs.
Okay, okay.
So the next Monday game is Giants versus Eagles.
Okay.
Okay, so this is another primetime game for the Eagles, who have had more primetime games this season than any team.
You consider 4:30 a primetime game?
It's the Christmas game. Yes. That is a primetime game.
Okay, okay, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
That's like Raiders Chiefs. That's a primetime game, in my opinion.
Even if it's at 1 o'clock. Okay.
It's at 1 o'clock, but you're getting the Christmas Day game. That's
right.
A prime
it's like the Thanksgiving Day game. All the games are important because you get to watch them all in one day. That makes sense. Okay. Right. All right.
So like I feel like okay, the Texans have been bad the last couple of years. I will give you that. They still deserve at least one primetime game.
Right.
Whether it be a Thursday night or a Saturday game. The Texans didn't get a Saturday game this year at all. So whether it be a Thursday, a Saturday, a Sunday night, or a Monday night game, I think every team should be allotted one.
Right.
At minimum, one. Now, if you want to give the previous year's Super Bowl contestants, whether they won or lost, a couple of extra, because they did make the Super Bowl last year, so that means that you know, coming into the next season, they, you know, those two teams are typically pegged to repeat until they prove everybody wrong.
Right. Or everybody proves them wrong.
Correct.
Yeah.
So we get this game, the Giants versus the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
Now this is going to be played at the Link in Philadelphia, where Philadelphia is a 12-point favorite with the over-under at 42.5. Now, I have the Eagles winning this game.
Okay.
But if the same Eagles that showed up this Monday against the Seahawks, they're not beating the Giants.
No, they're not. Then again, the Giants, here's the thing, man. The Giants just look different with Tommy DeVito at quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, that dude's basically it's so weird because they had that guy that was on the sideline with him, the guy with the big ass nose and the fedora, and
that's his agent.
Yeah, I know. I found it so weird. Like, I didn't know agents would have access to the field like that. Like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I ain't never seen Drew Rosenhaus standing next to T.O. on the sidelines. You know what I mean? But you see
Big Dom. Well, not anymore because he's not been anymore. Banned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's banned from been banned from being on the sidelines indefinitely. But you used to see Big Dom, who's the head of security, and I put that in quotation marks because I don't know what the fuck he's securing.
Right.
Because there are police everywhere. Anyway. Right.
And on top of that, almost the whole damn offensive line is just as big as he is. It's right. Like, bro, I got you. You know what I mean? You know, but it is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I think this is Eagles across the board, man. I mean, I hope the Giants, you know, have a good performance, you know, but no, I think the Eagles will probably come through and win just because they want that. Like, man, we lost to the Seahawks. Oh, we get to play the Giants. Yay. It ain't no easy win, motherfucker. You better come to play. You know what I mean? So,
right.
So that's Eagles across the board, right?
That is Eagles across the board. Right. All right. Now, our final game of the week, the true Monday night football game, we have the Baltimore Ravens versus the San Francisco 49ers.
A possible Super Bowl matchup. That's what everyone's been calling this game.
Yes. where San Francisco is a 5.5 point favorite with the over under at 46.5. Now Baltimore is on a 4-game win streak.
Yep.
Where the 49ers, and I'm only looking at the last 5 games, but they're on a 5-game win streak. Possibly more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. No. 1, 2, 3.
Remember, there was that lull where they lost 3 straight. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're on a six game win streak right now. Yeah. If you go back far enough. But I'm only looking at the last 5. Both of these teams are sitting at 11-3. You know, this very well could be a prelude to what the Super Bowl is going to look like.
Yep.
Very well could be.
Yeah.
I've got the 49ers. I think they're gonna win this one. I think it's gonna be a very close game.
Oh yeah. This game could probably go into overtime too.
That it could. Now, I trust the 49ers defense more than I trust the Ravens defense right now.
Okay. I definitely trust their offense better San Francisco's offense better than Baltimore's offense.
It depends. So for me, it depends on which Lamar Jackson shows up.
Okay.
You know, they found a way to win. Actually, their closest game, they've been pretty much blowing everybody out.
Their last loss was against Cleveland, though, right? That overtime.
Their last loss was against Cleveland.
Yeah. That last, you know, last second field goal.
Right. 33-31.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, they did struggle a little bit against Cincinnati, but. Mm-hmm. That was the last game that Joe Burrow played. That was the game that he got injured in.
Right.
You know, then they go on to beat the Chargers, beat the Rams, and then they just mollywop the Jaguars 23-7. So I say all that to say that I think that the 49ers are going to win this game, but I think it's going to be closer than what most people expect.
Oh, it's definitely going to be close. I honestly think a lot of people are expecting it to be close. Again, I think San Francisco, very high-powered offense. Same with the Ravens. Again, this is what I said. Bless you. This is definitely a Super Bowl contending matchup. And even then, I got the 49ers barely pulling it off, dude. I really think that the 49ers have the keys to victory in this game. Excuse me. Damn. Acid reflux, man. But yeah, I got the 49ers winning it. I think the Ravens are going to put up a fight, though. I think both of these teams are going to get tested, and because the Ravens are the best team in the AFC, 49ers are the best team in the NFC. Something's got to give, you know what I mean?
And right,
I do think 49ers are going to pull off this win, though.
All right,
go ahead,
Chad is going to go Ravens here.
Okay, interesting.
So,
all right, that works. Yep. As far as games of the week, though, what you got? What are you most looking forward to in terms of games of the week?
Let's see. I think
Ravens 49ers for me.
Yeah. I was gonna try to go in order.
Go in order. Okay.
Yeah, I think. I think that Browns Texans game is gonna be good.
Right.
Jacksonville
Bucks could be low key fire.
Yeah, Cowboys, Dolphins.
Yep. That's the one I'm going to be looking at hard.
Ravens, 49ers.
Yep.
That Bengals Steelers games could be low-key a banger.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Lions and Vikings also could be a good one, too. You know, anytime, again, divisional rivals, you know, you love to see it. You love to see it happen.
Right.
All right. Yeah. But yeah, but that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in tonight to check out Are You Ready for Some Football? What are your predictions? Who do you think is going to win? Who do you think is going to lose? What team are you rocking with? Let us know in the comments down below. And thank you so much for just all the love and support you guys have been giving us. Chip, you got anything you want to say before we bounce out of here?
As always, please do not leave without leaving a like, comment, share, and subscribe on Spotify and right here on YouTube.
Make sure you guys check us out on all of our social media platforms, Facebook, X, almost said X again. I'm going to get that right eventually. Facebook, X, Instagram, and TikTok. Make sure you check out streamlabs.com/movementradio/merch and go copy some merch. Again, thank you guys so much. We love you. We appreciate you. And we'll catch you guys next time. I'm Talon Williams.
I'm Chip Hazard. And this is Movement Radio.
God's plan.